WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
As an actor, Frank Whaley has appeared in many of the top films of the last 10 years, including Field of Dreams, Born on the 4th of July, The Doors, JFK, and Swimming with Sharks. He recently wrote and directed his first feature film, Joe the King, which is based on his childhood. Whaley grew up in an impoverished family in Syracuse, New York, with an abusive alcoholic father. Joe the King won the Screenwriting Award at last year's Sundance Film Festival. It's just been released on video. The film stars Val Kilmer, Ethan Hawke, Cameron Manheim, and John Leguizamo, who was also one of its executive producers. Let's listen to a scene from Joe the King. Here, 14-year-old Joe Henry, played by Noah Fleiss, is talking with his drunk father, played by Val Kilmer. His father is saying that Joe's shoes stink and that he should buy himself a new pair of shoes since he has a job and can afford it.
Yeah, you know what I make?
Oh, why don't you tell me about it, big man, working man?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, how much you take in tonight? Let me see your wallet. Come here.
Why, you want to borrow some?
Are you through?
Come on.
You finished?
Every time I turn the corner, it's when's your old man gonna pay me and tell your old man I better get my money? Brazier, Jerry, and everyone else. Hey, you owe him, so pay him. Get him off my back.
Val Kilmer is an interesting actor, and a lot of people think of him as an action hero type or a sex symbol from his role as Jim Morrison in The Doors. Mm-hmm. That was a movie you had a supporting role in. You've cast him as Joe's father, and he's an alcoholic, abusive, going-to-seed guy. He plays the janitor at Joe's school. How did he get involved?
Well, as you said, I worked with him on The Doors. That was some 8 years ago, and I had to have a name actor in this role, and the role that Ethan played, and the role that John Leguizamo played, and this role, I needed to fill those with somewhat big names to get the film made. It's just how it really works in big or small films. It's all cast contingent these days, and particularly since the lead character is a 14-year-old boy, there's no bankable 14-year-old actors really out there, so I knew going into this that I had to have somebody of his name caliber. So he was on a list with like three other actors that I want, which I was trying to get. And I happened to run into him. He was doing this movie in New York. He played a blind skater or something like that. I can't remember really what it was. A film with Mira Sorvino that he was doing at the time. And I ran into them near where I live in New York as they worked. And I went home. I ran home and I grabbed the script off my desk. And I just brought it to him, and, you know, we hadn't seen each other in a long time. I said, you know, I'm making this movie. I know you're working, but I'd love to have you in this movie, and it'll only be a short-time commitment. And he read it right away, and he had, as luck would have it, he was just finishing that film that week. And we were starting production about 2 weeks after that, and it just all worked out. And so he showed up, and he worked 3 days, and it was great.
At one point, he takes off his shirt, and he's got a beer belly. You just want to run in the other direction.
People did run in the other directions when they saw that. People were screaming. They couldn't believe Batman had gotten so fat.
That was at your urging?
Well, he had, you know, he's a very rubbery guy. He can somehow make it protrude out really far, you know. His gut is not really that big, but he has the ability, kind of, he slouches. If his posture just right, it looks like he's got a really big gut. But he also has a lot of cake and beer in there, evidently. And the trick was, it was to get him to take his shirt off, which I didn't think he would do. So I sort of sheepishly asked him, you know, before we shot this scene where he comes out of his house and yells down the street at his boy after work one day. I asked him if he would mind taking off his shirt, and he didn't even think about it. He just did it. And if I was him, I'm not sure if I would have done it, because he is known for his kind of matinee idol looks and his action hero kind of roles, but you know, he kind of threw caution to the wind and many of the reviews that have been written about the film and editorial pieces have unanimously kind of commented on that. I'm really surprised, but I'm not sure. I'm sure he realized that what he was setting himself up for.
So you grew up in Syracuse in upstate New York in the 70s. Did your family live on the wrong side of the tracks?
Yes. Syracuse, like a lot of cities in upstate New York, they're kind of made up of two sides to the town. Syracuse is a city with a university. Syracuse University is located there. And that side of town is made up of, students and people that work at the university, professors, everything. It's a very wealthy area. And then the other side of town are the people that work in the factories. At least when I was a kid, there was a lot of factories in Syracuse. Carrier air conditioners. Bristol-Myers had a large factory there, and just sort of the laborers of the town, and that's located on the south end of Syracuse, and that's where I grew up.
How much did your father drink?
Well, he was a pretty good drinker. He started slowly and in his life when he was young, unfortunately, he developed into a pretty severe alcoholic by the end.
Your dad left your family when you were a teenager, right? 16 or so?
Yeah, about 15 or 16.
Did he talk to you before he left, give you a kind of parting talking to?
We had some words, but there's a scene in the film between Val Kilmer and Noah Fleiss, who plays Joe, that sort of mirrors a conversation I had with my father. In the movie, it takes place before the boy is about to go away to juvenile hall. And in my experience, it was different than when I was going away to college, which would effectively be the last time I would see him the last time I would see that town, at least see that town in that way. I would come back, for Christmas to see my mom here and there, but not much. And he tried, in his own way to kind of give me some advice.
Like what?
Just simple advice to try to be good and to try to avoid the sins of that he committed, the sins of my father, to try to no matter big or small, the accomplishment in life, to try to hold on to it. And at the time it didn't really have an impact on me, but later on in my travels, I realized what he meant, and I'm not sure if he even knew the profound notion of what he was saying, but it impacted me later, and obviously it had enough of an impact for me to write about it.
You got in a lot of trouble as a kid, I gather. Mm-hmm. Were you a petty thief? Opportunistic thief?
Yeah, it was I was a pretty prolific thief when I was young, but I was real but it was out of necessity for the most part. I didn't have any money, and if I wanted a new pair of sneakers or something like that, I'd just go and take them. And fortunately, at some point, I kind of went straight and learned. I somehow learned the very difficult but valuable difference between, the lesson, the difference between right and wrong. And but I was a quick thief, a prolific thief, and good. And I was a real con man when I was a kid, and so I kind of graduated throughout my childhood from slight petty crimes to more elaborate kind of schemes.
So what made you stop?
A series of circumstances. My older brother, Robert, who's in my film and also scores the film, he, at some point in his late teens, decided to become an actor. He was going to join the drama club, and when he finished, when he got into his senior year of high school, he researched the program at the time, which was called the Educational Opportunity Program, which sent poor kids and minority students to college. And he decided, for some reason, that he was going to study theater to be an actor. And like everything in those days, I kind of did what he did, and I entered into this whole new world of performing. And once I got there, all that other stuff sort of disappeared. I mean, I still had the same, the same problems getting stuff, but I just worked harder, and I don't know. I I found it, I sort of started to, at some point, you know, and I think was a result of becoming an actor or pursuing knowledge about acting, performing, gave me a higher regard for myself, and I didn't want to do these bad things. And then when I went away to college, I entered into the same program that allowed me to go for free to State University and study theater and English, which was what I went into in college. I never really looked back at my town or at my criminal acts.
My guest is actor, writer, and director Frank Whaley. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Frank Whaley is my guest. He wrote and directed the film Joe the King, which has just been released on video. Whaley has appeared in such films as Born on the 4th of July, The Doors, and Swimming with Sharks. You were in Swimming with Sharks with Kevin Spacey. He plays a despicable, abusive Hollywood producer, and you are his punching bag, his gopher on the way up. You take him hostage in the movie. It's very intense. The movie is told in flashbacks during this hostage situation. Kevin Spacey is so inventive in fleshing out this this character. Did you learn things from him on the shoot?
I learned to stay away from him mostly. No, I'm just kidding. I learned. Yeah, he's a great actor. I think we learned a lot from each other. Watching him, you always learn from good actors. You can only learn from other good actors, and I had known Kevin throughout the years. I'd worked with him on stage, and I'd seen him in his work in the theater, and he as you said, he is very inventive and a wonderful actor, and it was a lot of fun playing off each other, you know. It was not easy at times because of the nature of the two roles, you know. When he wasn't torturing me, I was torturing him on screen. So it wasn't an easy film. The film was also made in 18 days for a very low budget, and it was set to be 21 days. But that huge earthquake, I think it was 1996, we made that film. Or whenever that Northridge earthquake hit, the first day of shooting, the earthquake hit, so we lost about 4 days of shooting. So the film was made under very excruciatingly low budget and no time. So we had our work cut out for us.
So those circumstances helped to create that intense atmosphere, hostage atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yeah, it did. It was a tense atmosphere all around on that set.
And when
I was actually really surprised that the film ever got finished. It was one nightmare after the other, but it's turned into kind of a cult, real cult favorite.
Well, let's listen to a scene in which you are holding Kevin Spacey hostage. And this is my guest, Frank Whaley, performing with Kevin Spacey.
You're just like any other punk kid out there looking for a way in, any way in, and you need me. Does that give you the right to belittle people? To abuse people? What gives you the right to treat
people? Because I earned it.
What, you think someone just handed me this job? I've handled the phones, I've juggled the bimbos, I've put up with the tyrants, the yellers, the screamers. I've done more than you can even imagine in that small mind of yours. I paid my dues.
I didn't spend 1 year,
and I spent 10! Damn it, it's my turn to be selfish. It's my turn. See, that's the trouble with your f***ing MTV microwave dinner generation. You all want it now. You think you deserve it just because you want it? It doesn't work like that. You have to earn it. You have to take it. You have to make it yours. But first, guy, you need to decide what it is you really want. I want you to stop calling me in the middle of the night. I want you to stop sending me to the office for your goddamn phone numbers, for your sunglasses. I want my life back. What life?
You have a kind of baby face look, white skin, a little pudgy, if you don't mind my saying so. With your looks, I would think that you would get typecast as a baby face. What do they call you in the movie Swimming with Sharks with Kevin Spacey? Farm boy, right?
Right, right.
But you've really had very differing and different roles in the course of your career. You've been a band member in The Doors. You were a Hollywood wannabe, big shot in Swimming with Sharks. You were a drug-addicted vet in Born on the 4th of July. Do you get typecast as an actor? And do you have ways of skirting the typecasting or using it to your advantage?
Well, no, I've never been. I'm lucky in that I've in my career, I've done some 35 movies. I've never really repeated one role twice. That's really lucky that I've been able to get such an eclectic group of of roles offered to me. And I'm not really sure why it is, but I prided myself on being a real character actor, and that sort of worked against me in some ways because they like to be able to put you in a certain category. You know, it's the same thing with films. You know, if something is different, it's much harder for them. Do you think they would like something different? But they kind of get uncomfortable with it because they don't know where to put it. And that was what was sort of characteristic of my acting career. And I wasn't characterized as a leading man or as a comic actor or as a dramatic actor because I was fortunate enough to get roles where I was able to do all of those different things. So I wasn't, and sometimes I kind of wished I was, but I've been able to do a lot of stuff, and that's been the good part of it.
Frank Whaley, thanks very much for talking to me on Fresh Air.
My pleasure.
Frank Whaley wrote and directed the film Joe the King, which is just out on video. He's written a second screenplay, and it's currently in pre-production.